broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is indeed the broadcast for November the 29th in the year of our Lord, 2016, hour 202. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Welcome to the broadcast. Right at the last hour, we're talking about the SPLC, and they're moving to kill debate on the refugee resettlement. They're really pushing hard. They want to make everybody a racist who doesn't agree with them. They even tried to attack Ben Carson, saying that he was extreme, crazy, over the top, a racist. What? Because he dared to say that he believes that man and woman, one man, one woman should be married, traditional marriage. And they said that's extreme, crazy. And they tried to attack Ben Carson, but they had to remove the post because of the outcry from the American people. The American people saw right through that one. And they're seeing more and more right through what's going on here in America, where the mainstream press in bed with the ultra left, literally calling everybody a racist who disagrees with them. It doesn't matter what you say, what you do. If you're white, you're a racist. If you disagree with them, you're a racist. Donald Trump literally articulated it quite well. They're still calling Donald Trump a racist at every turn. There's a Google Chrome extension that now replaces the words alt-right with, quote, white supremacy. And they say, stop normalizing the alt-right. Well, the man that created the term alt-right is a guy by the name of Richard Spencer. And I know the guy. I don't know him super well. I mean, reasonably. But our buddy James Edwards with the Political Cesspool knows Richard Spencer really well. And Richard Spencer is the leader of a group called NPI. National Policy Institute, I think is what it stands for. And they had a conference in Washington, D.C., Kurt, at a posh hotel a week and a half ago or so. And in that event, there were about 300-plus people in attendance. And at the end of Richard Spencer's speech, he said, you know what, hail Donald Trump. He didn't say hail, but he said hail Donald Trump because he was just kind of like hail to the chief, you know? Now, I'm not, you know, that's not my favorite way to go about it. I wouldn't say hail to anybody. But I'm just, I understand it. In the exuberance, it all happened. Well, anyway, some people in the crowd returned the Nazi salute, or it used to be the Roman salute before the Nazi salute, Kurt. And now everybody's melting down, saying how evil Richard is, how the NPI is a bunch of racists. This proves it. And the mainstream press going absolutely berserk over this. And what I find fascinating about this is if Hillary Clinton is literally endorsed by the Communist Party USA. No big deal. You even bring that up and what's wrong with you, you racist? And then Richard Spencer has some people in his crowd, literally about three or four people did this. What, 1% of the crowd did something? That I believe is over the top. I reject it. But nevertheless, does that mean that Spencer's an evil guy? Or that he's somehow, you know, this evil person? That's the problem in America, is this double standard. So, you know what? I personally consider Richard Spencer a friend. I don't know him super duper well. I know him pretty well. I mean, I've heard him on the radio a lot, and I know what he stands for. And you know what? I may agree with some of it, and I may disagree with some of it. That isn't the point. The point is he has a First Amendment right, Kurt. And even though I disagree with Nazi ideology 100%, even though I disagree with the Nazi salute, I wouldn't give it. But what do you do when somebody in the crowd, you know, gives that salute? Do you shut them down or do you just say they got their free speech too? And does that reflect completely on Richard Spencer? I don't think so. And does that reflect directly on James Edwards and or Sam Bushman or Kurt Crosby because we know these people? You know, at what point do you believe in free speech, folks? At what point do you say, you know what, I may agree or disagree, but I'm going to defend their right because I want my right to believe and say as I do. What about Ben Carson saying, you know what, marriage is between a man and a woman? They're attacking him for that. What about Richard Spencer saying, hail Trump? What about then people in the crowd and their Nazi salute? See this slippery slope? Where does it end? And as long as somebody's not promoting violence, Kurt, or inappropriate sexual behavior, or you know, violence, or breaking the law in some form, I have to say, live and let live to some degree. The libertarian in me, the free market in me, the Constitution in me, the founding father in me, the rebellion in me says, you know what? The second you start to ratchet that down, the second you're going to lose your own rights. We better be very careful. So even though I disagree with the Nazi rhetoric, it's knock it off. It's not something I would ever do. I think it hurts the brand of NPI. I think it hurts the goals of Richard Spencer. I think it's undermining everything he's trying to accomplish. But at the same time, I'm not here to disavow anybody. What do you think on this, Kurt? You think I'm far afield on this? It's a very slippery slope, right?
Well, you know, it's interesting to me. I remember growing up, and they would say, like, say you had a book. If I remember right, there was a book called Catcher in the Rye. And, you know, there were some people that were concerned that whatever was in that book shouldn't be available in the school libraries. And so they wanted the book, you know, banned. And yet, you know, many of the same people that fought for, I guess, the right to, you know, not have the book censored or have books burned or banned or whatever, you know, they'd be pretty much for banning, you know, this kind of speech now, Sam. And that's what I see. We've been kind of going down this, what you call the slippery slope, for quite some time, where certain people's freedom of speech, you know, is okay, but then the others is just, you know, we just don't allow that kind of freedom of speech.
And that's the problem that I have with it. I don't agree with the Nazi salutes, but Kurt, how is Richard responsible if some people in his crowd give a Nazi salute? I'm not
Great
sure
point.
That he is. Now,
just like saying Al Gore's responsible when somebody reads his book and blows up something. And, you
Good
know,
point.
I mean, people would say, well, that's not his fault. And yet.
And it's not.
Yeah.
I agree that it's not. But I also agree. So, and you know, maybe Richard Spencer should have said something. You know what? We don't like that here. This doesn't, you know, this is not what we stand for, guys. Knock it off. But what do you do at the spur of the moment, in the middle of your speech? Everybody's loud. Everybody's cheering for your speech or whatever. Is it the time to do something, or is it better just to let it go? And, you know, but then the mainstream press grabs it and it gets crazy out of control. What do you do?
What I want to know too, Sam, is, you know, remember like with the Oregon thing, they found out there were, what, 15
provocateurs,
or more,
yeah,
guys from the, you know, feds themselves that were in causing a lot of the problem. You know, what I want to know is, hey, were some of these guys, you know, fed plants, if you will? I mean, they sure got lots of them, and they seem to be right in the middle of any time there's a problem.
Now, everybody's trying to get Richard Spencer to apologize, Kurt, and he won't do it. And I agree with him for not apologizing. You know what? We don't need to back away, even if it wasn't the best move that Richard Spencer made. In other words, it was ill-advised, folks. You don't yell Hail Trump, and you don't have Nazi salutes. It just derails from the whole point of what we're doing. Okay, none of us are Nazis. Come on. In fact, I'm certainly not a Nazi. Those guys would kill me because I'm a blind person. I wouldn't even last a minute. So there you go. But all I'm telling you is that we don't need to apologize for this. We need to say, you know what? It was ill-advised, but the mainstream press is making a mountain out of a molehill. They're being unfair and unkind and trying to really reject the whole brand alt-right, which I don't subscribe to anyway, just because, again, I don't like labels. I mean, what, the founding fathers were liberals, right? See what I mean? Labels are bogus in the first place. However, I will say this. I consider Richard Spencer to be a friend. I will not jettison him. I will not apologize for him. I will not back away from his First Amendment right to free speech. And even if I disagree with something Richard Spencer says or does, it doesn't change my stance. I'm not apologizing for him. I'm not going to jettison him as a human being and pretend I don't know him or anything else. That's all bogus. I'm not doing that. And so I say to you that, hey, if we're going to hold Richard Spencer to an incredible standard of you can't ever make a mistake, then we better hold everybody else to that standard too. And Hillary Clinton simply needs to be in jail. Jill Stein is out of control. And you know what? They're attacking Ben Carson because he said we believe in one man, one woman marriage. And they reject David A. Clark Jr. because he says the cops, for the most part, are fine. It's these Black Lives Matter thugs that are out of control. And it's amazing. You can literally murder 50,000+ babies in America. That's all cool. Call it pro-choice. And if you stand against it, you're some kind of a bigot. But Richard Spencer can't even say Hail Trump? What gives with that? Okay, folks, we've got a skewed narrative in America, and we got to reject it. We got to tell the tale of liberty and stand for honesty and morality and the First Amendment. And I'm telling you right now, I consider Richard Spencer a friend. We'll move on, but we had to mention the alt-right and discuss this piece. You guys can all call me a Nazi if you want to and decide I'm your enemy, but you've been deceived if you try that deceptive, satanic card of lies.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
So we're talking about Richard Spencer and the alt-right just a little bit. And Richard Spencer made a mistake, I'll be the first to say. I think he should have rejected the Nazi salutes, and he should have rejected the plants among them. And I don't know who these people are. They might be legitimate supporters. They might be plants. They might have just got too caught up in the exuberance of the whatever, and they might have been mocking the left in the media. A lot of times what they do is they troll, and they trigger the left, the media, on purpose to see what they'll do and stuff. Bottom line is, no matter what, this backfired. It really put egg on Richard Spencer's face. It's sad that it occurred. However, I defend Richard Spencer a little bit and say, you know what? Again, where's the slippery slope? If Sam Bushman rejects Nazism completely, but believes that white people have the right to stand up for their heritage and their beliefs, just like every other race or every other culture does. But then they say, well, Sam's a white nationalist because of that. Well, I don't know that I'm a white nationalist according to their label. I don't agree. Well, am I what they say I am, or am I what I say I am? Let me say that again. Am I what they say I am, or am I what I say I am? See, I don't believe that I'm superior to anybody because of the pigmentation in my skin or anybody else. I believe that we're all God's children. We're all endowed by our Creator with unalienable rights. There's no qualifiers in the Declaration of Independence, and I stand by it. Male and female, black, white, doesn't matter. We're all God's children. I believe when we obey God's laws, we're blessed, and when we don't obey God's laws, we lose those blessings. And many times we might even cross over into punishments by God for violating his laws, okay? However, you know what? I do believe there's differences in cultures and peoples, and that's okay. And I believe that everybody should celebrate their heritage and be proud of who they are. And everybody has an affinity for their own people. That doesn't mean that you're going to be hostile to another race or other people. It doesn't mean that you're evil or that you hate anybody. Just like you would do more for your family than you might for the guy on the street, you might do more for your race than some other race. But I believe we're all really of one race. That is the race of God, God's children, the human race. And I believe that we need to judge people on their character. I believe we need to be kind to everybody. Okay, but see, it doesn't matter what I say that I am. The thugs say that I'm a racist. Why? Because I'm willing to let people have their First Amendment. And I'm willing to let Richard Spencer and others speak for themselves. Okay, Richard Spencer appeared on James Edwards' program, The Political Cesspool, on Saturday night and said, look, this Nazism idea is a non-starter. In other words, he doesn't believe in Nazism either. He said so himself. That doesn't mean he's going to run around and try to arrest people that put a Nazi salute up in their exuberance. Was it wrong? Sure, I don't agree with it. But I'm not about. I'd rather err on the side of letting people do stupid stuff than I would to take away people's First Amendment rights, Kurt. And that's what this comes down to. And, you know, whether James is a little bit more hardcore than Sam, or Richard's a little hardcore than James, or, you know, where does this all go? I mean, are they as hardcore as Ben Carson? See, they attack everybody. And the more the mainstream press does this, Kurt, the more the Southern Poverty Law Center does this, the more ground they lose, because Americans see through it. To call Sam Bushman a racist when he can't even see what race anybody is the height of hypocrisy. It's just absurd. And they know it. But they are clinging to this lie in their effort to marginalize everything we do, because they know that we're making a tremendous difference in educating the American people about the true issues in America today. And they don't know what to do. So they whip out the race card. But the more they do it, the more they call everybody a racist, the more they lose. Because people see through it. They're like, okay, so everybody's a racist. Who cares? Because we're not racist in the real world, Kurt. When it's funny, they attack me for having James Edwards as one of my talk show hosts on Liberty News Radio, Kurt, as if I'm a racist. Guilt by association lies. But I bring all this up because what about the other talk show hosts that I have on Liberty News Radio, Kurt? They don't bring those guys up. Jesse Lee Peterson, oh yeah, he's an Uncle Tom. Got it. Okay, what about Will Grigg? He's not black and he's not white. What do they give with that? Oh, well, see, they don't have any answers for the truth. The truth is that I'm friends with people who believe in the principles of liberty. And I'm not friends with those who don't. And whether it's David A. Clark Jr., good friend of ours, they call him a radical racist too. Why? Because he doesn't fall for the Black Lives Matter lie, tied in with the communist movement. See, but they can get away with murdering everybody, and we can't even get away with the mistake of, well, gall, somebody in the crowd flashed a Nazi salute and it didn't get rejected as it should have. Whatever. All right, I'm done with this manipulation and this double standard, Kurt. Just everybody's a racist. We need to create bumper stickers. Everybody's a racist. And we need to simply mock them at this, not capitulate to their lies. All right, any final comments on this, Kurt, before we move on?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, you know, a lot of people were for Romney for Secretary of State. I don't really think Romney's great. I wish I could sit down and help him understand the Constitution a little bit. But he's a whole lot better than Giuliani. And he's a whole lot better than now who Donald Trump's looking at. You see, Donald was shocked at everybody rejecting Mitt Romney. So now Trump is going to meet in New York with a criminal, Kurt. A literal criminal. Retired general. David Petraeus, I know it's Petraeus, okay? David Petraeus, who served as the director of the CIA, or Central Intelligence Agency, under Barack Hussein. What do you think of that, Kurt? Literally a criminal. He admitted to lying to the investigators at the FBI and et cetera. He literally was basically compromised with classified information because he gave it to his lover, and it went all wrong. What do you say to all this, Kurt?
Well, you'd sure think we could find, you know, somebody better than that. We could find Sheriff Clark, you know, Sheriff Mack. I think there's quite a few folks that wouldn't have that kind of baggage, you know.
Where do we go from this, Kurt?
Well, you know, I guess we just hope that Trump and the those surrounding him will make the best decisions they can, you know. You know, it's interesting to me, at least over the weekend, you know, you had reports that they were, Mr. Carson, Ben Carson, was going to be praying about, you know, whether he should serve as the Housing and Urban Development Secretary, you know, contemplating that. Now there's reports, it looks like Salon magazine started one that basically said that Ben Carson had called the concept of fair housing an example of communist government overreach.
And it is, Kurt.
Yeah, I know.
Clearly it is. Now, if you want to call me a racist for that, go right ahead. See, fair housing has nothing to do with the color of someone's skin, Kurt. When you give handouts, when the government redistributes the wealth, it's wrong and against the supreme law of the land. It's wrong and against everything that our founding fathers fought and died and bled for, including the black ones.
Yep.
And now Sam Bushman and Ben Carson say that, and somehow we're both racists.
I guess he went on to say, I guess there's a New York Times article in which Carson is quoted as ripping government-engineered attempts to legislate racial equality create consequences that often make matters worse. I mean, government involvement, trying to fix a problem makes it worse. Carson added that based on the history of failed socialist experiments in this country, entrusting the government to get it right can prove downright dangerous.
Wow.
You know, he sounds like he's qualified to me, you know.
Well, it depends on what you mean by qualified. No one's qualified to promote, in my opinion, unconstitutional government, Kurt.
Well, yeah, but at least he understands those principles.
Yeah, that's right.
I guess he went on to say that this is what you see in communist countries, where they have so many regulations encircling every aspect of your life that if you don't agree with them, all they have to do is pull the noose.
All they have to do is call you a racist, then if that doesn't work, then they run around and say, well, you're engaging in fake news. So you're a fake news promoting racist, Kurt. How do you like that? See? How do you answer that? And the answer is you don't waste your time answering that. You say you guys are thugs and you move on. All right, Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
That's a clown question, bro.
Whoa, say that again when we come back. Hold on.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
At least three of the activists who had participated in last winter's protest occupation of the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge in Oregon report that they are now listed in the federal terrorist watch list. Jason Blomgren, John Ritzheimer, and Jeff Banta told the Oregonian newspaper that federal airport agents have pulled them out of regular screening lines to pat them down and question them when they've tried to fly. Their airport boarding passes are marked with a quadruple S notation, which designates the person holding it as the subject of additional screening. Ritzheimer says that he received additional scrutiny when police stopped him for a minor traffic accident. Brandon Rapulla of Springfield, Oregon, who visited Burns during the protest occupation but has not been charged with an offense, also claims to have been pulled aside before every flight he's taken since the standoff, the Oregonian observes. Similar treatment has been reported by Ammon Bundy's mother, Carol, and his aunt, Margaret Houston. "It's so humiliating," Houston complains, "and then it's scary because you think, why are they treating me like this?" Neither Carol Bundy, who was in her 80s, nor Margaret Houston, who was 60, has been charged with an offense. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. Now that Fidel Castro has paid his debt to nature, the world has lost what was sometimes described as a living fossil, an unreconstructed and impenitent communist dictator. The government of North Korea, which remains committed to the classic Stalin-era model of communist rule, announced a mandatory 3-day mourning period for Castro, whom it characterized as a close friend and comrade of the Korean people. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. So Ben Carson getting beat up because he said that fair housing was communist. In other words, redistributing wealth and housing and everything else based on race, trying to create a, quote, equality in the races. Look, we're equal before God and government. That doesn't mean we need to engineer outcomes. That doesn't mean we need to force folks to work and play and be together. I support free association. That's why I associate with David A. Clark Jr., because he's a nice guy. He's a good friend, and he understands the principles that made America great, and he wants to return us to that wonderful opportunity of greatness that the founders fought for. He's black, I'm white, who cares? He's Democrat, I'm non-party, or Constitution Party, if you got to pick one, who cares? The fact is, we work together. And then they can't stand that reality check, Kurt, so they call us racists, they call us bigots, they call us extremists, whatever it takes to lie. When that doesn't work, then they say, well, you're engaging in fake news, so you don't count anyway. That's all a big old lie. But I think Ben Carson's right. Fair housing, the redistribution of wealth, is communist-based. And when Hillary Clinton's backed by the Communist Party of USA, nobody cares. When Ben Carson rejects communism outright in his own country, they say, wow, what a racist, what a whatever. We got to get over that, folks. We got to support the Second Amendment. There you have it. All right, Kurt, it's never too late to do what is right. You want to know who just wrote me and said that?
That's a pretty good phrase, Sam.
Yes, it is. Never too late to do what is right. The American Family Association, Kurt.
Good on them.
And I'm pleased with the email that they sent me. It's a recap of their last year, and they say, look, we're going to promote the light of Christ. We're going to do our best to stand for family values. We're going to do our best to work towards what is right. And you know what? We can stop this government. America's in trouble because we're turning our back on God and turning back our back on the principles that made America great. Our moral code is slipping. We got to stop that. I agree with them. But you know they're racist too, right, Kurt?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's sad, but it's true. See, everybody's a racist. I'm a racist, you're a racist. Wouldn't you like to be a racist, too? See, they're crazy. Doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter what you stand for. If you don't agree with their communist-style forced-in ideology, the pro-choice force folks that want to murder children, but run around and act like they're for choice, cannot stand you and I making a choice against anything they want, Kurt, or stand for. When they're going to win, they're going to like, don't challenge the elections. When we win, they're like, wow, got to challenge those elections. They're bad. These people have no morals, no principles. But that's what you get. All right, I guess they're having a France presidential reality check, huh, Kurt? Is that what's going on?
Well, that's right, Sam. And it looks like one of the guys there, what he's done, you know, in an evil way to get votes. He says he's going to let go of a whole bunch of, what do you call them, basically, he says he pledges to sack 500,000 civil servants.
Get it done, buddy. Come on.
Oh, wow.
Hope Donald does that too, Kurt.
Yep. Well, he's basically got a lot of folks supporting him on that plan there in France, you know. And this kind of stuff is catching on around the world like wildfire, huh?
Wouldn't you like to be a racist, too? See, he's a racist because he wants to let go of these civil servants, Kurt.
I suppose he is.
See, what color is that guy? Anyway.
I don't know. I saw a picture of him. It looked kind of whitish.
You know? Whitish. Yeah, see, then he's kind of racist-ish.
Of course. See,
he can't. If he's not totally white, he's not a total racist. Oh, wait a minute. He wants to downsize government. See, he's a racist for sure. A sellout. An Uncle Tom. He's something. He's extreme. That's what he is. He's... Okay. Wow.
Gotta get rid of him, man.
Yeah, you sure do. If you don't, I mean, just imagine the havoc he'll wreak. He'll destroy the whole country of France, Kurt. You won't even be able to get French food anymore. No French fries, no French bread.
No French fries.
A darn right. And just imagine what would happen. Americans wouldn't even be able to import French fries anymore. Wait a minute. We don't import French fries. How are they French fries if we make them in America? Wouldn't they be French-American fries, Kurt?
Yeah, they'd be some kind of hyphenated American.
Wow. Anyway, I guess, what is it? They talked about a landslide victory for this guy and stuff, or what's the details?
Well, yeah, you know, he's basically just, you know, kind of, I mean, the media's really surprised about it all, which, you know.
Well, they've been surprised about everything because they're so out in the weeds, they even have admitted it. In recent times with the painstaking defeat that they received at the hands of good, honest Americans. And they don't know what to do, Kurt. Some of them candidly admit that they weren't in touch. Others are just, you know, doubling down on their deception. Nevertheless, they'll be yesteryear's media in short order anyway, Kurt. So who cares?
Good point.
And what do you do with these people? Mm-hmm. They're a laughable joke. All right. Do we want to talk more about Trump's education pick? Blast, well, Common Core boondoggle. Amen to that.
It's just at least, in my opinion, she's said and done a number of good things.
Yes.
You know, at least when you look at her enemies, you know, the National Education Association and others, then you got to say, man, she must be... you know, perfect for the job. You
as
know,
soon as they call her a racist, Kurt, then I'll think she's great.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, well, at least she's a woman. Now, she's a white woman, so they're going to kind of not give her too much, you know, passage, if you will. But, you know, so was Hillary.
Yeah. Now, they say she's a brilliant and passionate education advocate. A brilliant, passionate education advocate. Wow, that's a tongue twister. That's what Trump said in a press release, Kurt.
Those are kind words and nice. And, you know, from what I can see, I mean, she's not only that, but, you know, she's pretty wealthy, too.
Yeah, now Betsy says this, Kurt. She says, I am honored to accept this responsibility to work with the president-elect on his vision to make American education great again.
Wow. Imagine
now,
that.
She's for school choice, Kurt. She's one of those pro-choice people, but she probably doesn't back pro-death.
No.
Good point. She also says, I'm not a supporter of Common Core. They say Trump's disdain for the National Standard is probably the most talked about piece of Trump's desire to reject the current educational realities. I do support high standards, she says, strong accountability, and local control. Anyway, that's the intent, she said, but over time it got turned into a federalized boondoggle. And here's the only problem with what she says that I'm concerned about, Kurt. She says this: above all, I believe every child, no matter their zip code or their parents' job, deserves access to a quality education. That concerns me, Kurt. Because I don't believe that every child has a right to an education, Kurt. What do you think? You want to add to this?
Well, I agree with you, but if she's using that, you know, kind of catchphrase, which is what the National Education Association and so many of the other socialists use, if she's using that to say, look, that's why we got to have vouchers and competition in the system. If she's using that to move them along that way, then,
yeah,
you know, to take what the left or the socialists or the communists use, they always say, well, the end justifies the means. You know, I would just simply say, look, what we really want to get to is no government involvement in education. To get there, though, we've got to take a few steps. That's what,
now here's, you know, what's fascinating. Seems like. In the article, Kurt, they then finished by saying she chose to send her kids to private Christian schools. Now, number one, great on her for doing that. By heavens, that's one of the great answers we need, right? What's fascinating, though, is so do all the other politicians that they don't mention, Kurt, including the Clintons and the Obamas, right? And the Bushes. They all send their kids to private school, don't they, Kurt?
Well, as far as I know, I mean, I don't know of any of them that are just doing the standard government school.
But it's fascinating. If Betsy does it, then they act like it's some bad, evil thing, but then they're all doing it. They act like, you know, we got to just make black neighborhoods white neighborhoods and force them mixed together and everything else. But every one of those people live behind gates in white neighborhoods, Kurt, even the black ones.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that? Why don't y'all go live in the hood and put your kid in government school and then we'll talk about it, okay? It's just crazy.
Good point.
All right. Now, I would not recommend this next story. What do they say? Don't try this at home, Kurt. All right, we'll talk about it. Liberty Roundtable Live.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes, in fact, my brother, he's 22 now, he told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to, you know, watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Kurt, from a public bike ride on down, it's getting crazy out there, my friend.
Yeah. Now, you know, you typically see these stories about the coldest time of the year, so you've got this kind of new exercise, new way to do exercise. They call it naked exercise. And they say it isn't just for exhibitionists. It's a growing fitness trend. Have you seen any of this going on in your neighborhood, Sam? I haven't seen any of this growing fitness trend myself.
You know, I can answer this two ways, Kurt. I could say, number one, I don't rightly know.
Yeah.
Number two, I don't think it's happening near me, my friend. Uh-uh. Now, there are women that are a little less stressed than I think they ought to be.
Yeah.
But that's a little different story than just, you know, flat out the streak in the buff.
Yeah.
Exercise. And they say it's a big old trend that's happening everywhere. They got these bike rides that are going on. I don't really understand the what do they call them, global naked bike rides or whatever? They've had naked Donald Trump protests, two topless women and naked people running around supporting the Donald.
Yeah.
So, weird stuff's going on, Kurt. I don't understand it.
Good point. Yeah. I don't either, you know. But,
what do you think? What do you think? Is it going to continue to grow?
Newest thing. I don't recommend climbing up the mountain in the snow with the dogs, doing that in the buff. You know, I recommend you be fully clothed and, get a good warm coat on.
But here's what's funny. People can run around naked, breaking the law. That's all cool. In fact, that's good. It's a new trend, says the mainstream press.
I mean, it's healthy. Exercising.
They would never tell you not to do it because they don't want to put their opinions in the mix. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, Richard Spencer, though, can say, Hail Trump. And then some people could do some ill-advised actions and salute in the wrong way. Now, I'm not for that. But what gives here? Look at the double standard is my point. Now, if Richard Spencer ran around naked and said, Hail Trump, would that be cool? Would that be better? No. It's Trump. He's a racist. They're a racist. You're a racist. Everybody is a racist. However, what if you ran around and said, Hail Hillary, naked? I guarantee you that they'd be promoting this going, you know what? These guys have every right to do this. Freedom of speech. Sometimes civil disobedience is appropriate. They'd be all cool with it, wouldn't they, Kurt?
If they were, then they'd be called, racist, I guess? I don't know. Prudes?
Yeah, I kind of like this naked fest. We could all be the leader. We could play follow the leader. That's what we could do. It'd be phenomenal. See, this crazy.
Yeah.
All right, naked exercise isn't just for exhibitionists. It's a growing fitness trend. In the article, Kurt, do they ever say, you know what? That really violates God's laws, Kurt.
No, they don't have space for that, Sam.
Why not? I mean, they got to mention it. It's not appropriate to run around that way,
Yeah.
I believe God wants us to be modest and to treat our bodies as temples.
Imagine.
And to behave in a manner that would be grateful for God's laws. But then see the ne'er-do-wells that just run around and go, well, if that was true, God would have had you born with clothes on, Kurt. See? And, you know, we've got a moral crisis in America. We don't have time to break this all down. But there is an article called The Quest for a Common Moral Framework that's on the LDS.org that I read that was quite interesting. I've got this saved. We'll have to get back to it a little later because it's long, and I want to get into the details. But my point is, Kurt, we are shouting out, in my opinion, for a value, or a return to values. If we want to restore America, we've got to get that done. Now, there's a store, Kurt, that's facing an incredible backlash. Did you see this?
No.
Well, they did a horrible thing when it just proves they're just hardcore racist, Kurt. Here's what they did. Well, they used the phrase black. Well, okay, it was a backlash. Backlash. They used Black Fridays Matter, Kurt, in their effort to increase sales.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah. You know, you think the BLM means the Bureau of Land Management, but it means Black Lives Matter.
And yeah, but Black Lives Matter, just Black Fridays don't. In fact, it's a mockery. It's a racist. Okay, look, a clothing boutique clothing company in Canada is guilty, Kurt.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even got the racist Canadians up there running around. Now, I'm sure if they'd just get naked and exercise, people would lay off. But really, they said Black Fridays matter, and people are going berserk, Kurt. I mean, how dare you say something like that? Now, Kurt, do you think Black Fridays matter?
I think every day matters.
Wait a minute. That's like saying all lives matter. What are you, some kind of a bigot?
That's right. Yeah,
it's just crazy.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, they call it a Canadian clothing boutique. Now, this is the problem, Kurt. They issued an apology.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, that's their mistake. By the way, they pointed out that one of the owners of the store, Kurt, is black.
Who?
He thought Black Friday's matter was cool. They say, you didn't apologize, you explained, you justified. Read your apology, then apologize for real. That's whacked out, Kurt. Anyway, all I'm telling you is I find this story interesting. So a black and a white owner, I assume, literally said Black Fridays matter. Shop today, kind of an idea. Shop at our unique boutique clothing store. And they literally got slaughtered for being racist. Now, personally, I don't think Black Fridays matter. Can I say that, Kurt? He said Black Fridays matter and he's a racist. If I say, I don't think Black Fridays matter at all. I can't be a racist then because I'm on the right side, aren't I, Kurt? Well, if Black Lives Matter, him and his black partner, and they're racist, then I'm saying Black Lives don't matter. Am I cool? No, I'm a racist too. See?
That's right.
That's right. So all I'm telling you is the reason I don't think Black Fridays matters because I don't believe we ought to boil our shopping down to a 24-hour period and say that's all important. What we need to do is shop when we have money for appropriate purchases that are necessary and in line with our budgets, Kurt. And if it happens
to
be on a Friday,
we should go under budget?
Yes, sir.
You know.
It's exactly what I'm saying. And we should do it not only on Fridays, but on Thursdays. I don't think that we ought to do it on black, which is supposed to take companies out of the red is the point for the black term in this case. But I don't think that I ought to pick a certain Friday that would make a store rich and then capitulate my budget to that agenda. So I say black lives do matter. All lives matter. Black Fridays don't matter, though. Companies being in the black do matter. But families being in the black matters too, Kurt. And I think people ought to come in under budget. I think people ought to be careful with their hard-earned money. And I don't think it ought to be about just some kind of a shopping bonanza where people get all crazy and lose their morals. Anyway, so they say Black Lives Matter. One of them's black. I'm sorry, they say Black Fridays matter. One of them's black. They got in trouble. I'm saying Black Lives do matter. Black Fridays don't matter. Every life matters. And every day matters. Now, is that racist, Kurt? Am I just crazy, out of control? Gotta stop me? Gotta throw me to the wolves? I'm using my bully pulpit to peddle fake news? Now, I guess Trump advisor Mr. Bannon opened up to a Hollywarped reporter, Kurt. Did you see this?
No, not that I... Well, let's see. Maybe I did.
Yeah, you sent it to me, you know.
Oh, okay.
Now,
that one does sound...
Stephen Bannon, the former investment banker, I guess hung out with a Hollywood producer. And everybody's rejecting the emergence that he's a white nationalist. In an interview with a Hollywarped reporter, Bannon insists, quote, I'm not a white nationalist. I'm an economic nationalist, Kurt.
Yeah.
It's not a white one.
Imagine that.
Wait a minute. He's white. He is a white one. Oh, you
he
mean
says,
he's not?
I'm a nationalist. I'm an economic nationalist. The globalists, he continues, gutted the American working class and created a middle class in Asia. Wow, he's right on target.
Now they say they gutted the American working class. See, he's right about that.
Yeah.
What do you think, though, insisting I'm not a white nationalist? I'm a nationalist. I'm an economic nationalist.
Ooh. Imagine that, being for your country, for your nation.
Huh. What a whacked out. What is he thinking? You know? I mean, come on. But here's the problem. Stephen Bannon is a great guy, I think. I have concerns about his understanding of government. But I will say this to Mr. Bannon. The sooner you learn not to waste your time than I am in this, the better off you'll be. You got to read Racism Schmacism, Stephen, because then you'll understand. Doesn't matter what you say or do, my friend. If you disagree with their policies, you're a racist. Doesn't matter if you're black, white, doesn't matter who you are. If you go along with their satanic, perverted, communist agenda, then you're all cool. But otherwise, you're a phobe of some kind. You're a racist. You're an extremist. And there's no way to win. That's why we got to take the news away from the gatekeepers. This nation shall endure.